Well, Lansing Mayor Virge Bernero goes before TV cameras and radio microphones tonight for his annual State of the City address. With a new Board of Water and Light facility as a backdrop, Bernero will review the recent past and lay out a vision for the rest of 2013 and beyond. In anticipation of tonight's address, I sat down with Virge Bernero here at WKAR last Friday to learn a little bit more about the address and to stir up some other business. I first asked the mayor if, in the final accounting, good news outweighs the challenges facing the city of Lansing.
Absolutely. The state of the city is good and very exciting. Manufacturing is taking off, as well as other aspects of the economy, and we will be doing some growing.
You've chosen the new BWL offices at the site of the old Grand Trunk train depot for the address. Explain the significance of that, please.
Well, the theme is Lansing Powered Up. And, of course, it's led by the Board of Water and Light, $180 million investment in this new cogeneration plant in Rio Town. It's really put a new face. It's changing the face of Rio Town. We helped with some streetscaping in there with state and federal grants as well. So it's a rebirth of Rio Town and the depot, which is a historically significant structure. So the Board of Water and Light has done a phenomenal job. But the whole city is powered up. We are ready to go. We're geared up. We've come out of tough times. We are leading Michigan's recovery. We were voted one of the top manufacturing cities in the world, in the country, Lansing, Michigan. Our reputation precedes us. You know, we make the things that make America great, and it's very exciting. So Lansing Powered Up is more than a slogan. And I can tell you, you know, we're bringing real hope to people. This announcement, the Chevy Camaro coming to Lansing, we just saw an example of that. Magna is a supplier is coming and bringing 400 jobs and $80 million investment. We're going to continue to see tremendous benefits from what I call the magic of manufacturing.
The last time we spoke, you told me the projected budget deficit for the next fiscal year was in the $9.5 million neighborhood. Are we back at 11, or is it still the lower number?
Well, it went up to 11, and now it's down to 9. So we have some recent, you know, projections. You have to keep, we're talking about next year's budget, so you have to adjust with the numbers. And there is some uptick in the economy. There are some good signs. So we're down to about $9 million. That's still significant. It's going to be quite a challenge. We have closed about $60 million in deficits in my time as mayor. It has not been easy. A lot of the low-hanging fruit is gone, but I can promise you we will have a balanced budget. I can promise you there'll be some pain. There will be some tough medicine, some tough decisions. But we'll get the job done, and we will continue to promote the quality of life in Lansing.
Do you anticipate service cuts, and if so, where?
Somewhat, but not really. The plan is to continue to provide quality services, but just probably have to do it in a new way. There may be some things. I mean, for example, a while back, we stopped doing tree stump grinding, and some people were concerned about that. So if your tree is going to fall down, a city tree, we'll come down and chop it down, but we no longer grind the stump. So we save about $180, $200 a shot on that. So in that respect, there may be some services around the edges. There'll probably be some fee increases. But there may be some things that we do differently. I mean, the goal is to keep the quality of service, but to be open to doing it differently. We cannot continue to do the same thing the same way. We just cannot. We don't have the money like we used to. We're already working with 300 or 350 less employees. We are reinventing city government as we go along. It's like redesigning the airplane while in flight.
Are there union contracts you can revisit?
Well, we're constantly working with labor, Mark. This is a regular feature in city governments across the country, really. 80%, 85 cents out of every dollar we spend is with people power, because that's what we do. The things we do require people. So,
but our contracts expiring soon enough
Some contracts are, but we would also be looking for reopeners, as we always have. What we will do is take the budget problem to our unions, to our union leadership, and ask them to join us in attacking the budget problem rather than attacking each other. And we've got a pretty good track record of doing that. So I anticipate more labor management cooperation to help us close this gap.
We're talking with Lansing Mayor Virge Bernero. His State of the City address is Monday night. We've learned that State Rep Andy Shore has introduced a bill calling for an income tax increase in Michigan. Would you support that? Would you promote such a plan?
I haven't seen his bill, but I understood that what he was talking about was leveling the playing field because right now the city of Lansing, we're dictated to by the state what our city income tax can be. And it's 1% for residents and 0.5% for non-residents. So in essence, you know, you get whacked an extra 0.5% if you live in the city. So I think what his bill would do would level the playing field. It would say that if you work or live in the city, you would pay 1% income tax. And I certainly support that leveling of the playing field.
You're a powerful advocate for service sharing and consolidation, which your Blue Ribbon financial health team is looking at very closely as well. Will this be a focus of your address?
It is something that I'll be talking about in the address. I believe that we're stronger together. Mark, I think that we've got to not only just implement efficiencies, but you know, if you look at the cities that are growing, the states that are growing, they have functioning metro regions, and our metro regions sometimes are struggling. Here in the Lansing region, look, we have our successes. East Lansing has its successes. Delta Township has its, but it's all separate. I believe that we're stronger together. I believe we got to continue to work for it, a win-win, win-win-win. And if you look at the things we've been able to accomplish, like with LEAP, the Lansing Economic Area Partnership, we now have one regional economic entity, economic development entity promoting the region, and that just makes sense because we're in a global economy, and so we've got to stop fighting with each other and begin to fight for our share of the global economy. And I think we can do that better together. And the models for this, Mark, the models are Indianapolis, Louisville, Madison, Denver, Nashville. The list goes on of communities that have really benefited by coming together. And part of that is talent retention. Here we are at Michigan State University. You know, we do a great job with talent attraction in this region with Michigan State, LCC, Cooley. We attract plenty of talent. But the fact is, we're not very successful at retaining that talent. And the reason is because these young people, these millennials, they want real cities. They want cities that are functioning metro regions that have public transportation and other great amenities, and we can do better, and we should do better.
My understanding is that the city has a 425 agreement with Delta Township, which enables revenue from economic development in Delta, in part at least, to accrue to Lansing. But I also understand the new Magna project that you referred to earlier in Delta is not in a 425 zone. Am I right?
That's correct.
Okay. What prevented the location of that Magna project in a 425 zone?
I have no idea, really. I was not privy to those discussions. Let me state unequivocally, Mark, that I appreciate the question, and you're right on in pursuing this line of questioning. Look, let me be clear. I think this is a big win for the region. It's a win for Delta, and it's a win for Lansing. You know, would it be a bigger win if it was in a 425 and we got some tax revenue? Well, of course, I think so. I think that would be great if we shared the wealth a little bit. But the fact of the matter is that is a win. I stand with Ken Fletcher, the supervisor of Delta Township. There are going to be Lansing residents who go to work, who have a job, who have hope, not just hope, but can put food on the table because of Magna coming to Delta Township. So the fact is these economic, when you talk about, again, the magic of manufacturing, when you talk about the reverberating effect, the ripple effect that goes out from the supply chain of manufacturing, it is a rising tide that lifts all boats. Of course, I think it would be better if we were all together and we shared the revenue. But again, this is a win. It's a win for all of us. It will mean jobs in this community, and there's more to come. Stay tuned, because that was a big win getting Camaro to come here. Other suppliers are asking and inquiring. They will land in this region. It will mean jobs for all of our people.
But was the 425 an option? Was it off your radar?
We were not privy to the discussion. So unless I'm not going to go in on somebody else's deal. See, I'm not going to, you know, this was something between Delta Township, MEDC, I believe, and Magna. So we were not going to horn in and say, well, no, we think you should be here. We were not invited to the table. To my knowledge, we weren't there. And again, I look at it as a win for the region.
It seems it's been pretty quiet on the Red Cedar development front. Can you update us on that at all?
I would say stay tuned. I will be talking about it in the speech. We got to save some things for 2013. We've had a great 2012, big victory with the NAPs, you know, where we really snatched victory from the jaws of defeat. Well, that's an over $30 million investment in the heart of downtown. A lot of great things happening. The Cadillac ATS is the North American Car of the Year, the new standard of the world made in Lansing, Michigan, the Camaro coming here. So we got to have a couple things for 2013. One of them will be the Red Cedar Renaissance. I think you're going to see a complete facelift for Michigan Avenue. You know, there has been this disconnect. Basically, you knew when you were leaving East Lansing and heading into Lansing, headed west. And I think that you're going to see the topography change. I think you're going to see a much smoother transition between the two communities along Michigan Avenue, better access for walking and biking. It's going to be a phenomenal development. We're talking about national names that will be there. Stay tuned.
Your administration's financial health team releases its final report on long-term revenue generation, long-term revenue challenges, as well as recommendations in March. Can you comment on how that process is going?
Well, from my knowledge, the process is going well. You know, you referred to it as my administration, and I appreciate that. But, you know, this is Dave Hollister's thing. Let me be clear. Nobody pushes Dave Hollister around. And I asked Dave Hollister, the former mayor and former state official, if he would lead this effort to really look at the long-term viability of the city and what we need to do to be healthy. And he has taken it. I mean, he has taken it. He and the group have been meeting. I've been doing other things, running the city day to day. That's the whole reason for the group. So I am looking forward to getting their report. I have not been meeting with Dave drive on a regular, on a daily basis or even regular basis. So their recommendations will somewhat come as a surprise to me, as everybody else. I expect, you know, big, I expect big recommendations. I expect transformational recommendations. Some will be small, but I suspect some will be big. As I've said, you know, we can't keep doing the same things the same way. We know that. Our near-term prospects are very good. And when I say the state of the city is good, I mean it. But the financial health team largely was put together to look at the long term. Now, they may have some short-term recommendations for me as well, but mostly it was to say 5 years out, 10 years out, how does it look? And what do we need to do to avoid disaster? Because right now, we've got time to turn the ship. If we're steaming toward an iceberg, I want to know so we can turn the ship.
You're obviously committed to the city's gun buyback program. Critics point to it as too symbolic with too little substance. Your response?
Well, Mark, it's one of many strategies that we're employing to try to reduce gun violence. The fact is we have victims of gun violence in this city, like every major city, every medium-sized city has gun violence, and we're not going to sit around and do nothing about it. So these are private dollars that we've raised, people who do believe in it, and the fact is it gets some guns off the streets. We've said from the beginning we don't expect criminals to hand in guns. What we expect is people who have guns laying around, who are not properly stowing them, who maybe now have a child. Maybe they bought the gun and there wasn't a child in their life. Maybe now they have a grandchild visiting on a regular basis and they don't want to keep that gun. They're concerned about the safety. This is an opportunity for people who want to get rid of the gun, to trade it in and get some groceries. And see, these are a lot of guns, Mark, that would end up stolen or potentially used in an accident. So overall, we think it reduces the amount of gun traffic in our community, and it's one strategy. And one of the things we're trying to do, you talk about the symbolism, one of the things we're trying to do is to generate discussion, just like what we're having here. I want people to think about it if they have a gun in their home. I want people to really think about if you need that gun, if you feel safer, and if you're stowing it properly. And we're going to be pushing recommendations on how to have a gun and how to stow the gun and make sure that youngsters can't have access to the gun, whether that means a toddler who might stumble upon it or a teenager who might be smart enough to know where it's at and how to get to it if they have an incident, a problem at school. We've seen these incidents where youngsters bring guns to school. So we're trying to prevent a tragedy here. This is one thing. And again, we want to stimulate discussion. We want to stimulate conversation, including grandmothers or mothers and fathers who might suspect that their youngster or their nephew is carrying a gun, to get them to have that dialogue and that discussion and help. If we have fewer of these guns on the streets, we're going to have fewer accidents and fewer gun deaths.
It's still very early in the year. How would you describe the dynamic right now between the administration and the city council?
I'd say it's as healthy as ever. You know, New Year's came and there was sort of a New Year's resolution by the council, the now council president, Carol Wood, that she wanted to turn the page and build a more trusting relationship. And so part of it is I met with her. I mean, we really hadn't talked much outside of council meetings. So she said she'd like to meet with me and you know, have sort of a professional relationship, which would be a new thing. And so we've done that. And so far, so good.
You think she would agree with that? You're off to a good start.
I hope so.
Lansing Mayor Virge Bernero, thanks for joining us on Current State. Feel better and break a leg Monday night.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.